In this edition of the Radio Today programme, Community Radio. What are the economics of running a station? How do you manage your on-air talent when they're paying you? And what difference, if any, will the government's new financial proposals make? We'll hear from the MD of Community Station, Cambridge 105. Before that, news of this year's Radio Days Europe.
The Radio Today programme, with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Thanks for joining us again. It is the Radio Today weekly podcast. I'm Trevor Dan, and do you know what? It's that time of the year. It's time to talk again about Radio Days Europe. This year it'll be in Milan. To find out more about it, I've come to what I think is probably the only hotel in London that doesn't have background music in its lobby. Here I've found Rolf and Anders, who run Radio Days Europe, are taking it to Milan this year. Hello and welcome again to England. Where have you been just this week, Anders?
Actually in Milan, you know, and for preparations. And London.
And Rolf?
Yeah, Milan and Oslo and London.
All in 3 days.
Yes.
But it's a tough life, isn't it?
Well, it's a fun life.
Before we talk about what we're going to be experiencing in Milan, Rolf, I saw you at the radio festival in Salford. Yes. In fact, we talked on this podcast, didn't we? And I think we both agreed it was quite a good event. Since then, of course, we know that that was the last one. What do you make of that news?
Well, it's probably the way that now you have the international event, Radio Days Europe, with the people from all over Australia, US, all around Europe. And then you have the small event, the Next Radio in London, which have a snappy format, you know, short lectures. And maybe Radio Festival comes a bit between those. But I've been to the Radio Festival the last years, and I've really enjoyed it. And I've always picked up something which we could take on, you know, to Radio Days Europe or to Radio Days Norway. So it's been a good place to come. So I'm kind of sad if it's
a shame, isn't it? I mean, you look at the future and think there's not going to be another radio festival in the UK. That doesn't feel right somehow.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, so many things are happening in British radio, but maybe the Brits know about it.
Is it possible, and as we were just talking earlier, is it possible that it's just not an event that attracts enough people at the coalface? Managers go, but ordinary people are either not allowed to go or can't afford it.
I mean, you know this better than I do, but of course the radio industry is shrimping, you know, it's getting smaller and more of the big players, but they are, you know, less, they have less staff, less people, so there are less to who actually can go. On the other hand, I think if you're really interested in what's going on, you have to have a wider perspective, you know, because you have to have the international perspective. What's going on in Canada, in Australia, on the continent, in Scandinavia and so on? So that's where you need to go to, you know, hear the new stuff. And I think that's a challenge for a festival like the UK Festival, I think.
When you go to Germany or Italy or Spain, as you do, and talk to commercial radio groups, do you think they have a similar feeling about conferences as we rather feel that the commercial groups do in the UK, which is, well, we can't really afford to send anybody? Because my sense is when I go to Radio Days Europe, there's lots of people from commercial stations. So what's the difference?
Well, it is different from different markets. I mean, some of the really big players, also in other countries like Germany and France, they have, you know, the same attitude. They go themselves, the management themselves, the 2, 3, 4 people in the top, and they won't send anyone else. They're afraid that they might be, you know, hired by someone else or find, you know, new ways. And so that's, of course, an opportunity for everyone who goes on their own expense, on their company's expense, because you have wider perspectives, but you also meet new people. So I don't know if someone actually has been hired, you know, from because they've gone. But you know, there is a little bit of awareness that maybe we shouldn't share all the new stuff. Maybe it's just for the management, the top management, you know. But in this new world with the internet and everything, you know, you have to have the wider perspective. And also as a producer or a host, you have to have those influences to you know, be on the frontier and know what's going on.
Rolf, how are you going to change Radio Days this year? Is it going to be any different at all? Are you building on the success of Dublin and Berlin?
we're building on the success, certainly, because it is a concept which functions, but we are playing around a bit with the format, not only 25 ideas in 45 minutes, but also some more interactive elements which will be coming this year. And we will try to record the sessions and make some of this available afterwards, which is, you know, using the material in new ways. And we have speakers you haven't heard. I mean, you have some which are coming back, which are really good. But it's lots of new names from new areas and so on.
And what about Milan? Why did you choose to go there of all the other places you could have gone in Europe?
Well, Milan is fashion, food and football.
Look at you, Rolf Brandrud. You're not a man who's interested in fashion.
Well, this is radio. This is radio. Maybe I should be. No, but Milan is a cool city. And it's also the mood of the Italians, which will be here. We have Filippo Solibello, who has been helping us out. And he has contacts all over.
Milan is the radio capital of Italy. Most of the commercial stations have their headquarters and studios in Milan. So they're quite excited about having the radios of the world coming to their city. And they are actually making pre-event of themselves. They actually call it Radio City, and they will have all the Italian radio having a showcase on Sunday and the weekend before Radio Days. So you can go and learn more there if you come. In general, I think I don't know that much about Italian radio, but they are not necessarily in the forefront in having new formats and in that way. But they are very vibrant. They have great personalities. They are very passionate about their radio. They have a lot of talk on the radio, and they have very good, you know, connections with their audience in different ways. And they're also, you know, some of them we know from other countries, but some of them are their way. And I think it will be really interesting to meet the people doing these quite provocative programs at times, you know, and feel that strong passion and engagement, which is in the Italian radio.
Now, Rolf, you've got Helen Bowden coming again from the BBC. She spoke in Dublin. What are you hoping to get from Helen that isn't just the usual, if I may say so, BBC party line?
She will be part of the radio summit. Last year, it was four women there. This year it's two men, two women, two public, two private. What specific she will be saying, we don't know. But we know that the CEO from Norwegian Broadcasting is coming, and he will certainly be telling that this month in March we will be deciding in Norway to shut down the FM frequency in 1st of January 2017. And he will be talking about, well, how did we manage that? In a small country, private and public radios can talk together and get the government along to do something. So that will be part of it, and it will, of course, be other sessions on that. What Helen Bowden will say? Well, we'll see.
Okay, so let me ask you, each of you, to pick out a couple of sessions that not just that you're looking forward to, but which you think people listening to this might be really attracted by.
Elvis Duran, the morning host from Z100 in...
Z100 in New York.
C100 in New York, yeah. He is, you know, a big personality. He will be there on Monday. It will be a big session on that, where he and Dennis Clark will be speaking together. And Dennis Clark has been working with lots of the central personalities in American radio. So I think that session will be good. Then, of course, one session which is a bit different is Telling the Truth in Conflict Areas, where we have correspondents from Moscow, from München, from Rome, and the last one I don't remember, which will kind of talk about, you know, people are fighting and the truth is often the first victim. How can you do that on radio? I think that's two other sessions which should be interesting.
Anders?
Well, I would definitely pick death, sex, and money, which is, you know...
What, with you being Swedish and everything.
No, this is actually a great new podcast from WNYC in New York. So it's from the public broadcasters there, Anna Sale. She's a terrific person. She will talk about this. Another one I would like to mention is Adam Ferrier from Australia. He's a consumer psychologist, and he will tell you how he would run a station, or how a psychologist would run a radio station, you know, taking into account how people actually view stations and different brands. I think that's quite amazing. A third one would be actually a new study that's being done just now in Austria about how people consume radio versus music services. How do people really use that? What do you think about it? We have a study going on there on mobile phones and how people use that, and that would be extraordinary, I think, to find out more about that.
I think the great thing about Radio Days Europe is you always come back with some ideas. You always think, that's good, that thing they're doing in Berlin, or, gosh, I wonder if that Canadian idea might work for me. I guess that's really what you've always been about, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we're picking people from different areas, of course. This time we have a person which will be new to many radio people. It's called John Forhouse, and he will be talking about how to be funny when you aren't. And, you know, all the tips...
We can all learn from that, I'm
we
sure.
We can all learn a lot from that, I think. So that will be a good thing. We have an Israeli woman who will be speaking about creative management or managing creative people at Pixar and Google. She's done a lot of research on that, and I think it's lots of inspiration to find in what they're doing there.
So, lots to look forward to. Last year you got 1,300 people from 60 countries.
That's right.
Are you going to outdo your own record?
We hope so. We are, you know, we're kind of tracking how many did we have at this time last year. And for the moment we are 50 ahead of last year. So it's moving somewhere between 1,300 and 1,500, I think, in Milan.
And give us those website details that are so critical, Anders.
RadioDaysEurope.com.
Anders Held, Rolf Brandred, thank you very much. It's the Radio Today programme. Let's have some news now, shall we, from Roy.
The Radio Today programme, with broadcast by Onyx.
Ofcom has launched a consultation into the regulation of music in local commercial radio. The regulator wants opinions from the industry to see if the rules should be relaxed when it comes to formats. The nominations for the IRN Awards are out. Good luck to you if you're on the shortlist. The awards will be given out on the 19th of March in London. And BBC Radio 2 is to launch another digital pop-up station. This time it's going to play nothing but country music from the 5th of March till the 8th of March. More details on these stories and much more at radiotoday.co.uk. Community Radio.
So, last week, Ed Vasey announced some new rules for community radio. We've talked a lot about community radio on this podcast and whether it's viable and how good it is and how, in fact, is it funded. So I thought I'd come to the horse's mouth and talk to somebody who actually has to look after the funding of a community radio station. I'm at Cambridge 105, community radio in your city.
That's correct.
And full disclosure, I've done the occasional show, Steve Potter, haven't I?
You have indeed.
Yeah, and they were terrible, but thanks for having me on. You're the only person who will. So, Steve, you've got a radio station here. It seems to do pretty well, but I want to explore with you what the problems are of actually keeping it on air and what difference these new rules are going to make. I mean, how easy is it to make any money at all from sponsorship and promotion and advertising as it is?
It isn't. It's very difficult. One of the main issues that we've had is finding a decent salesperson. We've got through over the past 5 years that we've been on air. We're currently on our fourth sales person.
And is this because you can't afford to pay a decent salary?
Yeah, it's catch 22. We don't have the revenue to pay a reasonable salary. So initially, we paid people just purely on commission. But realistically, that did not work. So our current salesperson, who goes under the title of a business development manager, was originally funded by the Ofcom fund. And we've managed to continue to support that job. And I'm pleased to say that at the moment, he is actually covering his costs and turning us a small profit.
So you make a little bit of money. Are you prepared to tell us how much you might make in a year from advertising in S&P?
We, at the moment, we're making around about £1,000 a month.
Okay, that's not a big sum, is it?
It's not a big sum.
To run an entire radio station.
And out of that, we have to pay for the costs of the salesman, and we have to take out the cost of the commission as well. So it doesn't actually leave us with a great deal of money.
So you've got to look after your premises, obviously. So you've got rent and you've got some council tax, I guess, and you've got to pay your PRS and your PPL, and there's some chunky regular payments to be made.
Indeed. In terms of the cost for this premises, we pay full commercial rates. We don't get any relief on the actual rent. Because we're a voluntary organisation, we get mandatory 80% rate relief. And Cambridge City Council have been very kind, and for the majority of the years that we've occupied this location, they've given us an additional 20%. So in fact, year on year, apart from 1 year, we don't pay any rates on the premises at all.
So your only other income then is the income that people pay you to be on the air. So your on-air talent, as it were, are basically volunteers, but they pay you a membership fee.
Yeah, so we asked all of the volunteers to make a monthly contribution to the core operating costs, PRS, PPL, rent, electricity, internet costs, everything apart from the cost of employing the station manager and the sales manager. We're fairly open about our costs, so everybody has insight into how much cost we incur per month, and we ask that they make a contribution towards those costs. And fortunately, they just about balance up.
So there used to be a time when commercial radio paid its DJs. Recently, it's become kind of common that some of them don't get paid at all.
Yes.
You've got even further and said, if you want a show, you've got to slip us a few bob.
It's not mandatory. It's an optional thing, but we have to cover the costs somehow. And at the moment, we are unable to cover the costs through grant funding, which is becoming increasingly difficult to obtain. And we certainly can't cover the costs at the moment through on-air revenue.
Now, Steve, your background is in engineering and audio and all that kind of thing, isn't it? You just said to me a few minutes ago, oh, there was a nasty bit of hum on your podcast last week. So thank you for that, Steve. This is it's a labour of love for you and one or two other people who are your colleagues. And I detect when I come here that people want to be on. They want to take part in it. There's a real sense of wanting to be broadcasters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're focused enough on your audience, or is it about you guys having a nice time?
I think people do focus a little bit too much on themselves rather than the listener. But I'm not sure that could be an argument strictly limited to community radio. I think that's an issue in radio generally, isn't it? It is a little bit about exercising your ego on the airwaves.
Yeah, I think that I think we'd all recognise that. It's the Trevor Dan Show. Okay, have you thought of doing an NPR-style fundraising, you know, and actually getting the people who listen, which I'm guessing a considerable number, to feel that they'd like to send you a few bob?
To me, that kind of smacks of desperation a bit. It doesn't strike me as being very sustainable, not unless you did it every year.
I'm wondering if, in light of the success of NPR in the past 2 or 3 years and the expectation now that people are beginning to think they might want to lob some money at
a podcast like Serial or something that, that has hitherto been free. And people like to pay for Spotify in the way that perhaps a few years ago people said, hey, everything's free and I don't need to. Maybe it's time to revisit that idea.
I think so. I mean, I think it might be worth considering. At the moment, what we're trying to do is build up the on-air revenue. So since we've recruited the last sales manager, business development manager, we have seen quite a significant increase in on-air revenue and program sponsorship. So at the moment, I think we would like to continue down that road where we have split revenue, split across between on-air revenue and donations and grant funding.
Now, a few miles down the road from us here is BBC Radio Cambridgeshire. And I'm not going to do a direct comparison here because obviously they are broadcasting to the entire county, which includes Peterborough, its biggest city. And it's always difficult to break down their costs because they are bimedia, multimedia. They've got a lot of people working across radio and television. Yeah. But I would say that their staff costs must be well over £250,000 a year, wouldn't you?
I would have thought
and
so.
And yours are?
Our staff costs, at the moment, they're running at £750 a month.
Okay. And let's just look at your scheduling. You do a book show.
Yes.
You've got films. We've got a cookery and food show.
Yeah. We've got lots of specialist music programs. We have an Italian show. We have a Polish show. We have a Spanish show. Yeah, numerous shows.
And you've said this to me before, the only hours you ever struggle to fill actually are the daytime hours, where people are less likely, I guess, to be available.
Yeah, and we also take the view that we need to maintain a certain level of quality and consistency during daytime. It's not so much about the individual and their specialist knowledge during the daytime. It's the ability for the listener to switch on the radio and be fairly confident of the standard and type of programming that they will be listening to.
So what are these new rules of Edvazi's going to do for you? Not much, I'm guessing.
Nothing at the moment. It does mean that if we see a significant increase in on-air revenue, then we do not need to worry about matching that with off-air revenue.
So you can earn £15,000 without having to match that.
Exactly. I see it as a tax-free allowance, really. Mm.
It's not a lot, is it?
It's not a lot, no. But then our running costs are very low, ridiculously low.
But that's only because you guys work for nothing.
But they have to be, exactly, yeah.
And what about the extension of your licence for a further 5 years? That must be good news.
It could be good news.
In what way could it possibly not be good news?
So we're in our second term already that is due to run until 2016. And then we're looking at another 5-year term after that.
And you've got to get up every morning and think, part of what I do is keeping this great ship, Cambridge 105, afloat, but I don't make anything out of it. I'm not even building up any equity. I can't sell it in the future.
No.
So... So what's the point then, Steve?
I think originally why the team of five people got together, we took the view that if we didn't do it, nobody else would. If somebody else had come along and expressed an interest in doing it, then I'd be sitting at home now, probably.
And here's the thing. You don't even go on air.
I don't, no. You can tell, can't you?
No. But, you know, most people doing your job for nothing would say, well, at the very least, I want my own show.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with community stations because, as I was saying to you earlier, there's just such a diversity in different types of station. And one of the stations that you notice cropping up every now and again is it seems to be one guy with the studio in his house and he's kind of living his boy dream. And... I didn't want Cambridge 105 to be like that. So I took the view that I wasn't going to go on air. And I don't go on air. I maybe go on air once a year on the birthday celebrations, but that's it. I think there's a lot more important jobs that needs to be done, and there's less people who are willing and, dare I say, capable of doing it. So I've taken a decision that I don't go on air, and I know that if I did go on air, I'd put all my focus and effort onto the programme that I produced, and Cambridge 105, the business, would probably suffer as a consequence.
You're a noble man. Now, look, one other thing. The CMA, the Community Media Association,
yes,
are they of value to you?
We are not currently members of the CMA, so I have to say no.
And that's because you don't feel that they are doing enough for you, or would do enough if you paid your 60 quid a year?
I'm not sure what they would do for us, actually. I think because funds are short, that £60, I think at the moment, would be better spent elsewhere.
Could they sell you national advertising? The kind of business they might get into?
I think this has been talked about within the CMA and by other organisations. We've been involved in the past in some trial national advertising schemes. We've ran two or three advertisements at a loss, and then we've had no further feedback from them.
Well, we wish you every success, Steve. I think you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you very
much.
And
I can't imagine what keeps you doing it.
I can't either.
Steve Potter is Managing Director, although that's not really the title he likes to use, at Cambridge 105, community radio in your city. Well, in their city, if you're outside of Cambridge. It's the Radio Today podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. After this, some radio moments, as ever, from David Lloyd.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, NewsBoss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
It's tough to believe that radio used to close down at night.
Good night.
A very good night to you. Sleep well.
We're now closing down till 5:30 a.m.
From all of us at County Sound, may we wish you a peaceful night. Good night.
From John Grierson, a happy evening, a good night's rest, and goodbye, bye, 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 bye.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
The Home Service, Radio 2, Trent, County Sound, Manx and Hallam saying goodnight in those days when we used to leave the studio and put the tone on. Well, this week, 26 years ago, Radio 2 became the first ever BBC station to broadcast 24 hours a day.
The close down in just a few moments' time will be the last on Radio 2. When the network opens up again at 5 o'clock, it's not due to close down again. And 24-hour broadcasting means that Radio News will, for the first time, be able to offer full round-the-clock coverage. And everyone in the newsroom is hoping that this new fuller service will provide something more than gloom. And so say all of us. I think we all feel that. Well, let's have a look at the clock before I do my final...
The start of 24-hour radio at the BBC before many commercial stations went round the clock too this week in 1979. Radio 2's Ray Moore tells in his biography that he was certainly not feeling too well on air in his final days. This week, 27 years ago, he hosted his last show, and it was to be as good as ever.
From Radio 2 for you.
Yes, getting us out of the news with old Benny King, but he's gone now, so let's bother our pretty little heads about him. It's the Thursday morning, 28th of January, which will do rather nicely. And one or two odd bods have thought of wonderful excuses to go and feel rather better later on this morning. Doug Cockwill, who's in Upton-on-Severn in Worcestershire. He says when he married Lynn, a clause...
The last Ray Moore early breakfast show this week on Radio 2 in 1988. He died a year later. Ray would likely have played no part in this sort of stunt, aired on Birmingham's BRMB this week 16 years ago.
Carla, will you have Gregory to be your wedded husband and to share your life with him?
Hello.
Having both made the necessary declarations, you are now married to each other. Husband and wife together.
Right, here we go then. World exclusive with the new bride and groom, Carla and Greg. Carla first. Well, congratulations. You're a married woman.
I am, yes. Thanks very much.
What do you make? I mean, come on. Is this some kind of big stunt on your behalf? Or can you do you look at that man and think, I reckon I could fall madly in love? Because you can't love him at the moment, but do you think you could love him?
I have spent since like 1 o'clock this afternoon with him, and he is a really great guy, and I'm not just saying this.
Two Strangers and Their Wedding on BRMB this week in 99. Happy birthday, BBC Lancashire, but it didn't quite start out that way.
Radio Blackburn, serving you, the people of North East Lancashire, on 96.4 VHF. The time is 12 o'clock, and to introduce this first official broadcast, here's your station manager, John Musgrave.
Well, I'm sure many of you will recognise that voice, the voice of Tom Naseby. For more than 23 years, the BBC senior announcer in Manchester.
The launch of BBC Radio Blackburn this week in 71. It turned quietly into BBC Lancashire 10 years later. Many Radio 4 series have become TV programmes. This one happened to be a TV show first, eventually finding the right path on radio 41 years ago.
Down on the south coast of England, in the little town of Warmington-on-Sea, the population are alert to the ever-growing threat of invasion. In the local branch of Swallows Bank, situated in the High Street, work is in progress to turn this respectable place of business into a defensive strong point. Pike, the office boy, is building a wall of sandbags around the window of the manager's office.
Dad Zombie beginning on Radio 4, this week in 1974. It ran for 2 years, began with the familiar news reading voice there of John Snagg. And I used to love hearing that show on the World Service too. Happy birthday to this gentleman.
Conditions in the flooded parts of England and Wales are said to be greatly improved, but the water is still rising along part of the Severn Valley. And at Worcester, the water has been rising at the rate of more than an inch an hour.
Colin Berry with a look at the morning headlines. There's been a call for a massive...
Happy birthday, Colin Berry. He's 69 this week. A famous voice on Radio 1 and Radio 2. And, of course, declaring our scores on the Eurovision 2.
We won't count our chickens. I have here the results from the United Kingdom and for the...
It's 11 years this week since Greg Dyke, then the BBC Director General, resigned.
We got very badly criticised by the Hutton report. Whether that's fair or not fair, it's for another time. But I think if you're that badly criticised, it's right for the Director General to go. And I think only by going will we be able to draw a line.
Farewell, Greg Dyke, this week in 2004. And this very same week in 1942, Fred Ogilvie resigned as BBC Director General. He'd had enough. Fred became a respected academic. So with the announcement the Saga stations were to become Smooth 8 years ago... Desert Island Discs, beginning 73 years ago.
I haven't had much experience of camping, and I just am a little bit worried about how I'm going to manage, but I am pretty practical.
And Matt Cardle, opening Heart Cambridge's studios 3 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd and Roy Martin, also Steve Potter from Cambridge 105, and Rolf Brandred and Anders Held from Radio Days Europe. The Radio Today programme is a TDC production. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.